Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another evening of Full Spectrum Radio. I am your host, Matt. Again, for another week, we are experiencing technical difficulties to where I can't bring the board up. Dennis is sitting there waiting on hold. I can't even bring him in as the co-host. So if I can't get this figured out in the next couple minutes, we are going to have to call it because I can't do anything. So Blog Talk, I hope you're listening, and I hate you. This is 3 weeks in a row, we've had nothing but problems. But anyway, so if I can get all this figured out, which I hope that I can shortly, tonight is going to be basically a full call-in show, if I can actually get to work to bring in callers, which would be nice. I keep getting a error 404 that the server has crashed, and it's just been nothing but a pain in the ass. I believe, actually, that I may have possibly, or they may have possibly fixed this. Let's figure this out. Dennis, you with me?
I'm here.
Holy hell, something actually went right.
I seriously think, Matt, after this one, you know, 3 weeks in a row, I'm thinking we need to check into another network, my brother.
That's exactly what I'm thinking, too, because I was frantic. I have, like, 10 browsers up on my screen. I got, God.
I've got the same thing. But, hey, here's a thought. Listen for the rush of the mountains as they escape. and everything's going to be just fine now, my brother. I believe we got this thing up and running.
Yeah, I believe so, too. Except attack of Blog Talk again. Chat won't load. So.
But we can live without chat. As long as we've actually got it up and running. I mean, the other thing is we need to be able to find the link that's, for some reason, I can't seem to find. The one that was sent out, somehow or another, is all screwed up. Thank you, Blog Talk. Please note that we will take our several thousand followers to another network. So, ladies and gentlemen, in spite of all the nasty weather, let's see, the Midwest took a buttload of snow. I saw where Dane had a picture of like 10 inches of snow on the ground. Richmond had snowflakes the size of a chihuahua today. However, you know, it's Richmond. If you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes, it'll change. Most of that is already gone. But on a bright note, I have on my sexiest bathrobe, my floppiest, fuzziest house slippers, and I am ready to kick this thing off.
Yeah, I definitely am too. I just wish that some things, Blog Talk, would actually cooperate for a change. So,
well, you know, all things that are awesome have to have a glitch somewhere along the way, brother. We got this covered.
Yes, we do. As always.
It's all good.
So how is your week been, and how is your Wednesday of 12 hours of Haunted Collector going?
Well, 8 o'clock this morning, I turn on TV. I have a bad habit. If I know I'm not going anywhere for the day, first thing I do is get up, make a pot of coffee, go crash back on the bed, curl up with the mutts, flip over to one of the programs, or I hit my DVR. So this morning I find Haunted Collector Marathon. Yeah, well, I guarantee you this much. Nobody can steal my recliner because it now has a permanent ass print from me. Like you said, it's about 12 hours of Haunted Collector so far today, but you know, I enjoyed it. I didn't accomplish a single thing. So as far as productivity, I would like to thank Mr. Z, Z-Man, Jason, all of you. Yeah, thanks for screwing on my production today. But, hey, for those that are listening, just so you know, they did the marathon because tonight, naturally, tonight is actually the season premiere. So DVR it, because you got a lot more fun right here with the two of us crazy clowns and whoever's going to call in with us.
Yeah, I do have I did talk to Chris Zaffis, I talked to Amy Zaffis, Brian Kano, Jason Gates. The only one I didn't hear back from was John. But they are actually filming the last episode of this season, currently tonight. So I wish them a great investigation. I hope everything goes well for them. I mean, it would have been great because I was planning on doing kind of a play-by-play of everybody watching the episode together and having the ones who were in the foxhole actually narrating what happened, what they experienced, what we don't get to see. Because, as you know, it is one of those things to where what is actually aired isn't actually what goes on. So, would have been cool, but I understand. They're busy. They're keeping us entertained.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, granted, I'd love to talk to them all again, but as long as they're shooting another episode, I'm perfectly happy. But, hey, Matt, I do want to say I want to give a shout-out to one of probably our youngest listeners, 8-year-old Charlize. is tuned in tonight. She should be listening to us at this point. Hi, Charlize. Thanks for joining us, sweetheart.
Hi, Charlize. Thank you. Happy birthday. Yeah. I know it's not. Just always makes somebody feel special.
I was going to say, where'd the birthday part come from, brother? That crack pipe is... Look, when they said, do you want a bottle in front of you, I think you misheard what they said, brother.
No. Yeah, oops. No, but speaking of birthdays, Tiara, who is Anne's goddaughter up in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, want to say happy birthday to her. Got a lot of birthdays. Kim, happy birthday to her. I mean, there's actually a very, very long list today, and I will get it up, get the list up, and I will do a full happy birthday to everybody. So just trying to get past the little bit of flusteredness, of today, of blog talk. So
look. You can hear mine going off in the background. Oh, radio. All right. Oh, my goodness. Like I said, Matt, I'm perfectly content. But I got on my sexiest bathrobe, my floppiest, fuzziest house slippers, and a cold beer beside me. So let's kick this thing off. I was talking to somebody that we both know. I'm going to drop a name here, Helmy, and he was telling me that, well, tonight's pretty much going to be whatever we want to talk about, whatever the guests want to talk about, whoever calls in. I want to start it off with a snippet from the conversation with him. He was saying that he got rid of his full-spectrum camera because he felt that the IR spectrum would be a little better. So what's your thoughts on it?
All right. Full-spectrum, okay. I agree with the concept. I don't agree with what is taken out of it as far as evidence goes. Full spectrum is great as far as radio, but not for video. Like that little plug there?
Yes, you got it all over the place.
But no, when dealing with a full spectrum camera, there's a level of what your eye can't decipher in both realms, but IR is a natural light field. Well, when you go into full spectrum and you're in UV, your brain actually does take over and matrixes stuff of what the camera's picking up, and the camera tries to decipher it, then your brain tries to decipher it, and it's not always 100% accurate. So is there something to it? Maybe for the layman non-video specialist, it's actually a little bit more confusing when you start doing review. I've talked to a couple of people, and we've had this conversation about it too, is it's, I don't know. I mean, IR is something that we're all familiar with. It's a familiar spectrum of light that we can see in. I mean, you know, you watch the show, which Haunted Collector is on right now, and they have gone, you know, night vision. And you basically can figure it out. Everything that you see is what you'd be seeing if you were looking through your little handy cam screen or whatever. But and you can also see with your naked eye. Well, your brain trips into something it doesn't understand. When
you said naked.
Wow. Really? I had to go there?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Thanks for breaking my train of thought, jerk.
Oh, you're so welcome.
But no, there is a, I mean, it's to each their own, just like, if you do go that route, and I mean, you want to spend, kind of waste the money on that stuff, I mean, it's, go ahead. But there's been a lot of other evidence that's been captured without using a full spectrum camera.
Yeah. Well, you know, you and I spoke about this quite a while back. You know, we go in, we turn out all the lights, you know, all of these fancy gadgets, we throw them all around the place. Yet when Mr. and Mrs. Doe call us and tell us, you know, little Johnny's having trouble sleeping in his own room because he keeps seeing a bad man in a corner, I don't think little Johnny's throwing up full-spectrum cameras and, you know, K2 meters and tri-field meters and all of these other fancy gadgets. So, and I love taking, I guess you'd call it going back old school. Just sit in a room, be a decent recorder or two, and see what comes up.
Yeah. It's, you know, and some of the best evidence that I've gotten doesn't require any fancy, you know, fancy equipment. And, I mean, it's literally stuff that you can buy at the office supply store or, you know, being a voice recorder. I don't exactly see the need for a lot of the hyped up stuff of what you get on TV and you see. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it works. Or, like our conversation earlier, does it? I don't know if you want to go there or I should.
Well, either one of us can go there, but it's, well, if I can show it on video, if I can show it on IR, if I can see it with my eyes, then I should be able to catch it on virtually any camera. You know, if the, you know, books are coming off the shelf and they don't have a fancy camera aimed at it, does that mean it didn't happen? No. If a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, did it make a noise? Yeah, it's still going to make a noise, just nobody heard this stupid thing. So it's the same principle. You don't need all the fancy crap. You know, a lot of you are, well, I'm assuming this. Now, I know I've got some, I know we've got some seasoned veterans that listen in. And, you know, you've spent hundreds and probably thousands on equipment. Well, you know, if you want, take a moment, call in, tell us why you spent so much money on all the equipment. 323-580-5703. Tell us what the best piece of evidence that you got, period, bar none, was. And what piece of equipment it came from. And I'm almost willing to bet, Matt, the majority of the answers that we will get will be an EVP or a digital photograph. And I'll bet the super fancy equipment doesn't have anything to do with those.
I would definitely agree with that. And actually, we do have a caller from a local area code from around me. So I'm not even going to screen. We're just going to wing it like we said we were going to. So, hey, who do we got on?
Me. But apparently nobody else. Oh, well, you know, the other possibility is there are some that were calling in just to sit on the board and listen in. So that's a possibility also.
Well, I know the one, but the person who is live right now is a semi-familiar number. So,
all right.
We got anybody with us right now?
All right. Go ahead and mute them again. And I'm going to shoot a Facebook message and find out if it's who I think it is, brother.
Well, I know we got Bree listening in.
Yeah, there was one local one that was going to call in and listen also.
And it's not in my contact, so.
Yeah.
Ah, well.
But I'm telling you.
I apologize if you're listening in. I brought you in and you just want to listen and not actually be a part of it, and I scared the crap out of you.
That's all right.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of why I made sure to mention that. I should have told you in advance, but I didn't have a number.
Well, you see if you can figure it out.
Not a problem.
The show must go on.
Yes, it must. And, well, you know, the way that, well, most people are probably thinking by this point that we're both, you know, half kicked in the ass, but I promise you I am not. Just simply because I made the little pop tab sound at the beginning does not mean I am shit-faced. I'm just in a really wild and happy mood. So, yeah, I mean, like I was saying, if you can, go ahead, call in. We'll try to keep Matt from bringing in those that really don't want to be brought in. But go ahead and hit us up, 323-580-5703. Tell us what you think is your best piece of evidence ever. And off of what piece of equipment. So I see Maria is asking, so 323-580-5703. Matt, this one's going to be a Florida prefix. I want to say it's like 901 or something like that.
Yeah, I think she's 901 or 727, one of the two. But anyway, no, like, all right, I'll even expand a little bit more than where you brought it. It doesn't have to be that, or if anybody who's listening has any questions about evidence or anything, like, you know, what, how we decipher.
What equipment to buy, or, you know, if you're just starting out and you know.
Not even that. Just in general. Just if you have any questions of how, if you're interested in the field but don't like you watch the shows but don't know how we come to the conclusions that we come to. I mean, and have no interest in actually investigating, or going on an investigation at all. Just general questions. Feel free.
Well, we can do that too.
You sure you're not the bad guy?
I'm positive, brother. I'm positive. I'm just wound up for some reason tonight. I know what it is. See, I've sat here today. I've sat and I watched Haunted Collector all day. I've got 2.5 pots of coffee roaring through me, so I probably have, you know. Well, I've got a down payment on a Colombian mud hut by now, I'm sure, with all the coffee I've got in me.
Yeah. So, actually, we do have Maria with us. So, hey, Maria, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing all right. We're a little bit. Both of us are a little bit wound up and kooky tonight. So, you got to bear with us on that.
That's what makes things fun and things interesting.
Oh, of course.
So, but yeah, going back to you guys talking about, you know, like the best piece of equipment, honestly, the best piece of equipment that I have is a flashlight. You know, the ones you just barely unscrew. And we were hectic this past weekend. And let me tell you, we were having flashlights. We had them separate all over the room, three different ones. And one would go off and then turn off. And the other one would go off and turn off. And the other one, and that's validation to me, you know, especially when you're saying, okay, you know, turn the flashlight on for yes, turn it off for no. And you're asking, you know, specific questions and it's responding. You know, that's validation, you know. And another thing, too, is the voice recorders. You can get them at Radio Shack for, you know, $20. You know, I remember going to the Marietta Cemetery, where I'm originally from, is Marietta, Georgia. And I went to the Marietta Cemetery where a lot of the old Marietta families are still being buried. And the afternoon that me and my best friend went up there, there was a fresh grave. They had just finished a funeral a couple hours before we had got there. And so we noticed that one of the headstones was a woman. And my best friend, you hear him very, very plainly say, oh, so I wonder if this is his family member. And plain as day, you hear a woman's voice say, oh, that's my husband. And I was like, you know, going back and listening to it, it was amazing to hear that. And crystal clear, phenomenal EVP. You know, it's just basic. I think the basic equipment is the best equipment. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars, you know, on full, you know, full spectrum cameras or infrared cameras. You know, you can get just as good evidence with, you know, a digital camcorder, you know, an EVP, a K2 meter, a flashlight and camera, you're going to get quality, you know, evidence as well.
Yeah, no. I mean, for what I've gotten in the past is, and Dennis and I were talking about a previous show, like, we both have the H4N, the, you know, the real, real high quality, looks like a taser voice recorder. I get more off of my $55 Sony than I do off of the H4N, which there's certain frequencies and noise canceling stuff that all these advanced things have in them that the other ones don't. I mean, they're made for lectures, they're made for voice notes, they're not made for what we do.
Well, and then again, Matt, who actually makes something to talk to the dead? Nobody. So, I mean,
exactly.
No matter what piece of equipment you're using, it's not really made to talk to the dead. I mean, Gary Gulka's equipment, the millimeters and all that, even they're not made to talk to the dead. They just happen to work in the field for what we believe is the dead. So
very true. Very true.
Yeah, I mean, there's... Now, I actually had a conversation with a friend of mine that I've known for 18 years. Diehard skeptic. Believes that when you die, it's just blackness. That's it. You're done. Nothing. I'm like, well, then explain to me how I can go into a location, set up a recorder, ask a question, get an answer that comes back making sense for the question that I've asked. Her question was, how are your meds lately?
Well, I think until someone has a genuine experience of their own, you know, they don't understand. You know, my fiance is a total skeptic. Well, why is a total skeptic? Let me rephrase that. You know, oh, it's just a bunch of poo hockey. It's not real. You know, stuff like that. This totally scientific, techie kind of guy. And we moved into this apartment back in September, so it's fairly, fairly recent. And we're laying in bed, and he's like, Maria, Maria. And I'm like, what? I'm trying to sleep. And he goes, look. And I rolled over, and there was this huge shadow man in front of my bedroom door. And after seeing that with his own two eyes, he was just like, oh my God, this is real. you know, you're not kidding. And I was like, yeah, no, I told you it was real. You know, so I think unless a person really has their own experience, they're not going to quite ever understand or believe it.
Yeah, I agree. And that was her statement, too, was, you know, until I see it with my own eyes, I'm not going to believe it. But,
yeah.
You know, even the EVPs, she wasn't a full believer in. She's like, how do you know it's a dead person you're talking to? Well, I don't know. There's two people in her room. I ask, can you tell me your name? And I get a name back that's not either one of us. Somebody gave me a damn name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, she hopefully she'll have her own experience and she can come back to you and go, oh, my God, guess what I saw? And you can go, oh, I told you. You know, the I told you so's always feel pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, one of the best ones, now, I've done, God, I don't even want to care to count how many investigations I've done. I was working my normal job. Ironically, I was working in the first government insane asylum in the country. This is up in Washington, D.C. I had a full-body, solid apparition walk by me. And I'm like, who the hell is that? This is Christmas Eve. Now, this is the first time that I've ever seen a solid body apparition. I mean, I've seen shadows and, you know, kind of misty-looking apparitions and so forth. This one, I can tell you what he was wearing.
Yeah. Well, that's like it. When I was at Casadega, me and him slept in room 20, actually. And when I'm there, I sleep like the sleep of the dead. Like, it takes, like, a tornado to, like, stand on my forehead for me to wake up. And I was laying, and all of a sudden I had this urge that was just like, Maria, you have to wake up. And I opened my eyes, and there was this man. He was in color, but I could see through him, and he was wearing a beige tweed jacket. He had a handlebar mustache. His hair was thinning, and it was kind of like, you know, the fabulous comb-over, you know? And it was a comb-over hairstyle, and he had blue eyes. But I could see through him. I could see the curtain behind him. And I kind of just stared at him for a second, and it was kind of like, okay, I'm tired. I'm going back to sleep. I've been up really late since 3 o'clock this morning, you know, and went back to sleep. But I totally, totally, seeing an apparition is just, there's no words for it. It's very hard to describe, like, the feelings that you're feeling. Like, when I see them, I'm not scared. I'm more intrigued, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, that was the same exact way I responded to this. When I heard the footsteps, it's Christmas Eve. I know the building is empty except for me and one other guy on my crew, and I looked over my shoulder to see him. I saw this guy walk by me, and wait a minute. That didn't look. I stepped out the door no more than 3 steps behind him, and there's not a thing to be seen. Nobody around. And I mean,
yeah.
It's 50 feet at least to get behind anything he could hide behind. I'm only 3 steps behind him. So, but he was in a black suit, the whole 9 yards. You know, carrying a briefcase with a fedora, and I'm like, who the hell is wearing a fedora in a construction site?
Yeah.
As soon as that thought snapped through my head, I jumped up. You know, I'm laying floor tile. And as soon as that thought jumped through my head, I jumped up. I stepped out behind him. I couldn't have been 3-4 steps behind him. And there wasn't anybody around.
I've had experiences ever since I was little. I remember, seeing them, you know, as young as 3 years old. And I think the most prolific time of hearing of an apparition, and I wasn't a witness to it, was when my middle child, I have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 5-year-old. my 8-year-old at the time, he was like a week old, just brought him home, was running this really ridiculously high fever, and he was admitted into the hospital. And they had to put the IVs in his head, and because he didn't, his veins and his hands and his feet were too little, and I mean, he was just so, so incredibly sick. And the nurse convinced me to go home. So she goes, you know, go home, take a shower, take a little bit of a nap, I'll stay with the baby. And I said, okay, not a problem. So about 4 or 5 hours later, I come back, and she comes up to me. She goes, that was so nice of your grandmother to come up here and sit with the baby. And I kind of looked at her, and I said, my grandmother? And she goes, yeah, she came in here, and she described a woman with black hair, green eyes, a green and yellow flowered dress. And she said, she goes, yeah, she goes, she was in here, she was singing to him, and the whole nine yards. And I kind of looked at her very, very oddly, and I had a picture of my grandmother in my wallet, and I pulled it out, and I said, is this the lady you saw? And she says, yeah, that was her. I even said hello to her. She said hello to me back. And I said, ma'am, my grandmother passed away when I was 14 years old. It's been 15 years since my grandmother passed away. And I watched her turn stark white and then hit the ground and pass out. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. You know, I felt terrible, you know. But, I mean, and then it wasn't just her. That contestant, the other nurse that was on the floor that night, said that she saw her as well in the room with my son. So, you know, I know they're around.
Oh, most definitely. Like, you know, I grew up in a haunted house. I didn't really believe it. The neighbors around, you know, told us, I mean, I'm an 8-year-old kid. My brother and I slept in bunk beds because we had family that moved in with us, you know, family members to, you know, trying to start again, get on their feet, whatever, move to a new town, et cetera. At the foot of our bunk beds was a doorway and the stairway that led up to the attic. Well, rumor had it that there were a homosexual couple that lived in the house before us, and had hung themselves in the attic because they were ridiculed so badly, I guess. Well, you know, my brother was 4 years older than me, so he's 10, 11, somewhere around there. And we would constantly hear footsteps up and down the stairway going to the attic at night, to the point that the two of us, you know, nearly pushed important body organs out to pick up our bunk beds and move them in front of the door. But, you know, I never really thought of anything like that. And then, you know, I heard the rumor that, you know, well, if you set a tape recorder in a cemetery, you'll be able to hear, you know, like ghostly voices talking on it and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. You know, I'm not thinking all this stuff's true. I mean, at this point, I'm probably 10, 12 years old. Well, I spent the night at my cousin's house, and they lived probably 2 or 3 blocks from a huge cemetery. So now keep in mind, I'm a brat of the 70s, 80s. I have the ghetto blaster, the boom box, whatever you want to call it. Drag it across 2 blocks, you know, it almost takes a wheelbarrow to carry this damn thing. It's so big. But we set it up on a headstone out in the cemetery. I hit record, and we walk away. Of course, you know, this was a Christmas present. I don't want to watch my boombox disappear. So we're 100, 200 feet away, and I'm watching it to make sure that, you know, because they're very populated cemeteries, of course, in the middle of the night. I wanted to make sure it didn't walk away.
Right.
We let it run for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. Go back over to get the boom box, and as we're walking home, you know, I got it hefted up on my shoulder like a brick mason would carry, you know, bricks, because that's about what it weighed. And we're playing the tape back, and you can hear, you know, a little bit of wind, and that's about it. and then you hear probably 30 seconds of whistling, like a 30s, 40s kind of music whistle.
Right.
And I nearly dropped my boombox. All three of us stopped. I set the boombox down. I rewound and I listened again. And all three of us, you know, by this point, you know, we're freaked out and we're thinking, oh, God, what have we done? You know, I took the tape out of the boombox, threw the tape, grabbed the boombox, and all three of us hauled ass. We're like 10 years old or so, 10, 12 years old. So, yeah, that kind of freaked me out. But
yeah, I remember doing that when I was, I'd say probably about the same age. I want to say maybe a little bit older, maybe, you know, 11, 13, maybe 11, 12, around there. And it's at the Marietta Cemetery, which is, like I said, it's one of the oldest cemeteries in Marietta, where like the founding Marietta family members are all buried, and it's huge. And it's divided up into sections. You have the Confederates, you have the Yankees, you have the slaves, and then you have the babies and the children that have passed away, and then you've got like the older family members and whatnot. It's a massive, massive cemetery. It's like a labyrinth. And there's like stairs that go everywhere and everything like that. And I remember going there with a couple of friends after watching a ghost show, and we took a recorder that we had, that you put the old cassette tape, and we went and put it up there, and came back. Yeah, probably a couple hours later, came back. Because, of course, you know, we had to sneak into the cemetery and climb over, you know, iron gates to get in there, and came back. And, you know, we heard footsteps, and we heard, you know, whispering. And I think that just triggered it more, because that was like me getting my first real evidence, you know, not just me saying, hey, Mom, look, I saw somebody or I heard something. It was me being able to take this evidence to my mom and going, this is what I've been hearing. This is what I've been telling you about. And it was kind of like my first validation. And I think that really kind of fueled my desire to really, you know, continue to just search and research and go out there and get evidence and say, you know, look, you know, we're not crazy people, you know, it's real, and here is the documentation to show it's real. So I think that really fueled me personally, you know, and I had that recorder, God, you know, I want to say 10 years I had it, you know, until, you know, the digital voice recorders came out, but I've always had that one piece of equipment with me, and I've always found that being my go-to, and being the best evidence I've ever caught was off of my recorders ever.
Yeah, and I'm debating whether I want to go to just strictly magnetic media, you know, like the micro cassette recorders versus a digital recorder. Reason being, well, we all know EMF is electromagnetic field.
Right.
If they're manipulating that, then magnetic media, you know, mini cassette tapes or micro cassettes, as they call them, should be able to be modified easier than a digital signal. So, you know, the old Sony Hi8 recorders, video recorders, things like that. I'd love to be able to set, like the Sony video cam that I'm using has the onboard hard disk drive. So it's not using, well, actually hard drives are actually a magnetic media in a slight way. But they're nowhere near the same system of magnetic system or magnetic media as a, you know, Hi8 or something like that. So I'd love to set the two of them side by side and see what the differences are in what they actually received. And
it,
as
yeah,
well, I'd love to
if
set.
You do that, let me know. I'm very curious about that. That would be interesting. So definitely let us know what kind of comparison you get with that. And the only thing I like about the digital recorder is you really can isolate, and on your computer you can really isolate and loop the EVP. That's the only thing I really like about it. But I'm always scared because it is, digital. I hit the wrong button. Am I going to record over the last 4 hours of EVP that I just did? So that's one reason I kind of like the cassette, because you can see, it's visual. You can see, where the tape is, so you know not to rewind and, record over it. So, but yeah, if you do that, I'm curious as to what your results are going to be. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. I've got a few different experiments that I want to do. One is I'm going to set I've got four different recorders I'm going to set up simultaneously. And I'm going to set all four of them to a different record rate and see what I get, see what the differences are. Now, I've got an extremely hot location that I can go to almost always guaranteed to get something. Usually it's me getting called an effer and, threatened or choked or something, but I'm good with that. But I'm going to set all four recorders side by side, and I'm going to see which one actually gets what.
Yeah. That's, let me know. I'm curious. That sounds, let me know. Because like I said, I prefer the old, the old cassette ones, but, it's now we live in a time of convenience, if that makes sense. With the digital recorders, we pop it in our computer, so the little programs run, it runs through, and it picks up all the little blips and stuff that we don't hear, and in 30 minutes you have a list of EVPs. However, is it quality? And also when you think about, when I think digital and stuff like that, I'm also thinking of, should there be radio wave frequencies that are interrupting it? So I think with the old-fashioned cassette tape, recorders, there's less possibility of there being some sort of interference, I think.
Yeah. Well, there are certain things, even like within the field versus reel to reel and digital. There was a movie that was out. It's been years now, but Michael Keaton, which was White Noise. Yes, so where everything that he was using and all the descriptions were imprinting on magnetic tape. Well, if you think about it. If you break down what we try and get with K2s and tri-fields and everything, what is it? It's an electromagnetic field meter. Well, the way that the real ones run is imprinting on magnetic tape. So if there's a disruption in the electromagnetic field, it would be recorded on a magnetic recorder. So there is a... There is actually a little bit of idea and theory and twist to it, to where the electronic end of it, as far as something that's stored in a microchip versus something imprinted on a tape, is where there would be a difference in what you're going to capture.
Well, the question that comes to my mind right off the bat is, if you're dealing with what we'll call a soft magnetic, soft media item like a micro cassette or anything like that, that's a soft media. If you did get a disruption in the EMF field that altered the magnetics going to the soft media, how would you know what the hell it was? And not just a glitch in the tape. I mean, it's not like it's going to go error in the tape. So, and that's kind of what I'm trying to decipher is, well, that's part of what the tests are leading towards, is how will we know what's actually happening?
Right.
Well,
I don't know. That's interesting.
And that's,
I mean,
that's where, I mean, they're, you know, it's not like when digital media came about that that was the first thing of audio processing software. You know, so I mean, there is stuff that you can do and programs that are out there, and even especially now, cheap stuff if you want to do a reel-to-reel analysis. I mean, you can pick it up at, like, you know, thrift stores now because it's outdated equipment, but it's not for us. That's, you know, the other thing I want to try, too, is the ITC, where you have a camera videotaping basically a blank static screen, and you wait for an image to pop up. That's actually a technique back from the 80s that I know Ghost Adventures did it, but there's not a lot of people who do it anymore. And hell,
right.
if it yields something, cool. I mean, it's, you know, it's like I tell everybody. I have in my arsenal, I have all my high-tech equipment in my 15 bags of equipment that I have. The one thing that I always keep in there, yeah, Dennis, I know you chuckle because you know how much crap
you
I have.
Bags.
But the amount of, like, the one thing that I always keep in there is a bag of flour. If I catch footsteps, cool. Like, there's no science to that. Sprinkle it on the floor. If there's something there, then there's something there.
Plus, come morning,
yeah,
he makes the team biscuits.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's, like I said, and you know, again, it's going back to, you know, you don't need the thousands of dollar cameras and, you know, the REM pods and, you know, it's the simple, old-fashioned, run-of-the-mill stuff. Something as simple as flour, you know, and that costs you, what, $2 a five-pound bag of flour? You take a couple cups with you and a Ziploc baggie. It doesn't cost you anything. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And cornstarch works good, too, by the way.
Yeah. Talcum powder,
cornstarch is a little harder to clean up your mess when you're done, though. And a lot of times, the client / homeowner, tenant, whatever, gets a little testy when you start sprinkling shit all over their floors.
Yeah, well, I've only done it in, like, abandoned places and stuff like that where there's, like, no actual, you know, living people there, where it's just, I did a warehouse one time out in Roswell and was able to put a little Roswell, Georgia, by the way, not Roswell, New Mexico, but Roswell, Georgia, and we put some out there. So just, I don't really do it in, like, actual homes. Because then, you know, I feel bad because I have to clean up after I'm done. So I try not to use that, like, too much. I did it in one house out in, it was Sandy Springs. I went to a house, but luckily they had tile floors, so that was a pretty easy cleanup there. So.
See, I only do it in living rooms on carpet. Just to make it the most inconvenient that I can. No, I'm just kidding.
and he wasn't talking about the flour that he does on the living room on the carpet either.
Oh, come on. you know what, Dana? You're bordering that PG-13 line.
Well, yeah, but I'm really good at hovering that line.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see. So far, you've said bags, naked. Yeah, we're on a roll here.
No, you're on a roll. Maria, I'm trying to be as professional as I can, but I have the 14-year-old on the phone with us, so.
All right, guys,
say,
it was good talking to
you.
All right, guys, have a good night.
It was fun. Thank you, darling.
All right, yeah. No problem. Bye.
Yeah, see, Matt, when you asked me to co-host, you assumed I was going to be adult about this. That was your fault. Now, what is the acronym on assume?
You make an ass out of you and me. Yes, I know.
No, because I already was one, so you just made it out of you twice.
Yeah, you're definitely, you definitely have your moments of making an ass out of me.
And no, ladies and gentlemen, just to set your minds at ease, I did not pregame tonight's show. The thought was there, but I did not. So, on a different note, Matt, I understand we have another caller in that has a pretty exciting story.
Yeah, give me 1 second, and I will go ahead, and I will bring in our dear friend, Bree. And we also have somebody from your neck of the woods, but who's in queue.
My neck of the woods?
Yes, Bree.
Do I know them?
You're with us. Hey, dear, how are you?
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing
hi, Bree.
Hi, Dennis.
No, I'm not, but that can be changed.
So what's the... So I'm actually intrigued. It seems like Dennis knows a little bit more than I do. What's the story that you have?
Well, actually, there's actually a couple. It started, I didn't really have any paranormal experiences for quite a while, up until about 2008. It started out by going by a known haunted house, and Dennis knows about this. I sent him photos. It all started by going by that house, and one day I was actually babysitting, and I was playing Guitar Hero, and I was babysitting, she was about 18 months, and, you know, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I feel an extreme cold on my leg, and just something didn't feel right. I didn't feel threatened or anything like that, but, you know, I was so scared to the point to where I said, can you leave me alone, and go on your way, and about 2 seconds later, my leg just returned to normal, and having abilities, and Dennis, I think you can agree with me, having abilities and sensing things, you know, when you go into locations, I feel like it kind of intensifies your experience. I don't know if it makes sense or not, but, and then, you know, going back to talking about the digital recorders, I actually didn't have a digital recorder at the time, and this was about 2 years ago. I actually downloaded a voice recorder on my Android phone, and I don't think, you know, it makes a difference between having, you know, a cheap phone or a cheap recorder versus, you know, one that costs Google's amount of money. And I had caught a couple voices on there. And, you know, I was just experimenting at the time. And it floored me. I had no idea that, you know, you can actually communicate with people who aren't living at the time, who aren't living anymore. And
so, did you get a valid, like an intelligent response?
Oh yeah. I asked if they needed help, and I asked, actually, at first I think I asked the name, and then I heard a name, but I couldn't quite make out what it was. And then my youngest dog, actually, I named him after the character in Forrest Gump, Bubba Gump. And I heard this spirit say Gump, and, you know, I'm not sure if they're attached or not, but I don't know, Matt, do you have any pets? Do you own any pets? Like a dog or cat or anything?
Matt's actually got two dogs in his house. He's screening another call right now is why I'm jumping in to answer for him. yeah, he's got two dogs in the house.
And, you know, knowing, you know, both in, you know, as many times as we talked, and having animals in your house is a lot different than just being by yourself. They can alert you with, you know, my stepdad's dad passing away last year, and my grandpa and her great uncle and my grandma. They're around. I know they are. You know, having abilities, you know when someone's around you, whether or not it's good or bad. And in this case, it's good. There's actually a picture of my stepdad's dad and my oldest dog hanging up on the wall. At times, I will see her just glancing up at that photo and looking away and staring for a while. You just know that, that they sense things. And if it's a, you know, I mean, I've been around not so nice spirits, and they will definitely alert you if something's going on. Definitely protectors. And I'm sure have your dogs done the same thing.
Yeah, well, I've got I've got three now. I did have four. I'm a staunch supporter of the pit bulls, bully breeds. We just put one of our dogs down about a month ago. Winston was with us for 15 years, I think. He was a rot mix. And the three of them, when we moved from our old house to this one, I guess 4 years ago or so, maybe something like that, the three of them, you know, they would key off on things. We didn't have the fourth one, the youngest one at that time, but the three of them would look down the hallway and you'd see the hair stand up on the back of their, on their back, on the back of their neck, their ears would lay down. I mean, they didn't go, you know, batshit ballistic, but you knew that there was something they didn't recognize as ordinary. Well, they got accustomed to whatever they were going off on at the beginning. Well, then we got this young one that, you know, she wasn't accustomed to the house. The others would still look down the hall, but it was like, oh, okay. Well, the youngest one now still goes quote-unquote batshit ballistic from time to time.
Right.
She's getting so much better. Just kind of, I don't know, it's strange. I mean, they definitely see things that we don't. They sense energies and things that we don't. Helmy would be somebody fantastic to talk to about this.
Right.
You know, he's a dog trainer. For those that don't know, I'm talking about Helmy from Haunted Encounters Face to Face. And he's got the Captain, which is a canine that's trained to sense EMF fields. You know,
yeah,
their sensitivities and everything are fantastic.
That's actually what I was going to say as far as the animal stuff goes. I have talked to a few people, like, locally that, and that's one of the first questions even before I go out to anywhere that I'll, during like a phone interview is, like, we're talking private residence, by the way. And one of the first questions that I ask is, you know, do you have any animals? And are they having any issues? Are they responding to anything? Are they seeing anything? Are they noticing anything? Has there been any change in their demeanor? And, I mean, yeah, Dennis, you nailed it right on the head. As far as that goes, I was going to refer, you know, Helmy also, because guy knows the stuff, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, I love talking to Helmy.
Yeah.
One, he's funny as all get out. Two, he knows his stuff. And, you know, anybody that's done this for a while, you know, you definitely learn to tell the difference between those that know what they're talking about and those that are just trying to make up BS and wing it. So, but yeah, it's fascinating to watch the animals. I've done investigations where I've asked them to leave their animals in the house. And, you know, I will watch the animal and see what it does, be it a cat, dog. I've even had birds that will react to, like, when I get a K2 hit, I've had birds react to that. So even birds are sensitive to it, I guess.
You know, and with that, as far as the bird thing goes, if it's any sort of carnivorous bird, like a raven or a vulture or anything along those lines, they can actually predict, and scientifically it's been proven that they can actually predict death. Hence where all the stories and, you know, I mean, you even see it in cartoons when they're, you know, characters are crawling through the desert and then there's buzzards flying overhead. They're just basically waiting. So
that's possible. I'm going back to the 14-year-old again. You mentioned birds and the crows. And first thing I thought was, well, then you mentioned cartoons, and the first thing I thought, and I can't for the life of me remember them, if there's anybody listening that does remember them or that's in chat, please feel free to refresh my memory. 323-580-5703. The two crows that used to be on the cartoons in the 70s, 80s, they were hilarious.
Oh, you're talking about the ones on the farm.
Oh, okay. I remember seeing them sit on a wire, sit on a fence, and things like that, and the two crows would talk back and forth. Just, they used to just crack me up.
Dennis, that was a Windex commercial from, like, 2 years ago.
No, you silly ass. I'm not that retarded. I'd have to go back and look, but I'm sure if I Google search, like, crows cartoon, I'd find it. But yeah, I mean, well, even if you go back and look at, you know, Edgar Allan Poe's writings about the raven, he alludes to the fact that, you know, they have abilities, and, you know, they were a beacon of death. And, you know, as far back as, God, I don't even know how far back, but as far back as I can remember reading about, if a crow was found in your home, it meant that somebody in the home was going to die or something like that. They were just beacons or harbingers of death. So now whether they actually sense death or, well, there's a big difference between a pending death and can they actually see spirits of those that have already passed? That would be the question.
It's definitely a possibility. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the hell you're talking about with the crows.
All right. Well, Hope actually did a search, and it was Heckle and Jekyll.
Yes, that's what I just found. I just came up with.
Yeah, and she said, and they were very racist.
Yes.
But, you know, keep in mind, I grew up in a totally different time. That was what cartoons were about. It wasn't all about superheroes, which, speaking of superheroes, I really need to talk to my, me and my doctor have to talk, because I had superpowers till they gave me those damn medications, and now I don't have my superpowers.
And how much meth have you smoked before the show?
Not an ounce. And I'm kind of perturbed because you promised me you had a new batch coming in, so I had to settle for something new. But that's beside the point. Completely.
Your normal guy didn't come through, huh?
No, there was something about I can't make bail, and I don't know.
You know, and Dennis, you can blame it on FedEx, because I mean the weather's been terrible, everything's running behind. So,
well, yeah, but the postman still showed up, so you know I still got my shipment from
great
South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa.
Yeah, Brie is located in South Africa.
Not yet.
Brie, why are you sending Dennis the bad stuff?
You know, I don't know. I guess.
Bad
I don't have an answer for that.
I couldn't resist. See, I told you when this show started, I was just wound up tighter than a tick, and here we go. Now you gotta, you know, gonna make me sound like a crackhead.
Gotta bring meth into it. But
yeah, it's all
anyway.
Fun and games. So someone breaks the glass stick.
Wow. Anyway, on a real quick different note, I did switch over and screen the one gentleman who is a dear friend of yours and mine, Dennis KB from Ghost Rats Radio with Big Ray and KB on Friday nights. Is listening in to us, so. Hey, KB, definitely miss you, man. I got to get my ass back down to Virginia and hang out with everybody again. So, but yeah, KB is listening in as we speak.
Is he going to join us? By the way, hey, KB, thanks for joining in.
He's
going
not
going to come on air, or he's just going to hover in the background and listen in?
No, he's listening. He's going to be heading off to bed soon. You know, his old ass got to get to bed early.
Oh, see, you went
just
there.
Just kidding, baby.
See, you had to go there, didn't you? Look, just because he's retired law enforcement doesn't mean he's old.
Yeah, and that was another thing, too, and I'm glad you brought that up. And, Bree, I know with all the law enforcement stuff that you have coming in your future, and as a supporter, yeah, KB is retired law enforcement, and I just, you know, hats off to, you know, his service in law enforcement. And also Big Ray, who was retired military, and is a retired military, I should say. Hats off to him, too. I mean, just great, great couple of guys, and I miss him like crazy. I mean, Dennis, you're down there, so they got stuff going on. You can head down to it. Me, I get to hear about it and envy you for having the opportunity to be able to do so.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got a lot of things going on there in the Chicago area that I just get to be envious of, so neener, neener, neener.
Yeah. which I have a ton that's coming up. Like, today was, and like, doing this show is the relaxing day. I have a few days coming up that are just going to be absolutely nuts. So, Neener, neener, neener. Oh, yeah, chalk up another 14-year-old comment. There you go.
Come on, did you really think I was going to let that one pass?
No, you know what? I knew it after I said it, and then I heard you say it. I knew where it was going. It's been south since I hit send.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, let's unmute my co-host. Yep. And there's the dive off the intelligence cliff. But on a totally different note, with the, you know, mentioning law enforcement, one thing that always comes to mind, well, CPR East, as you know, my team has, I've got 5 members at current. 3 are actually law enforcement. One thing that always stood out in my mind, one, from working with KB before, and 2, with my current team, I've noticed the analytical mind that they have on an investigation. And I think that's phenomenal. Now, I don't know if it's something that they teach them or if it's something that they just develop as they go, you know, through the field. But nothing is taken at face value. You know, no piece of evidence is taken at face value, which I think is the way that it should be done. Always make sure that, you know, when you hear that random click or knock or whatever, you know, think about the HVAC system in the house. Think about the ice maker in the house. Think about, you know, anything that it could be. And if there's any doubt, throw it out. And that is probably the most commonly used sentence among my team.
Well,
and
yeah,
I
mean,
it should be one of the most commonly used sentences among the entire field.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if there's something you're skeptical of, it depends, you know, how you want to present it. You can present it as a personal experience. You can present it as, hey, this is something that happened that's weird that I don't have an explanation for. Or you can just say, you know what, it just doesn't hold enough water to even bring it up, which is basically 90% of the time, if I come across a situation like that, it's, if it doesn't hold enough water, it's nothing. It's just something that sits on my laptop that is just there for me to go over in the future.
Yeah. So, Bree, what's
yeah.
your opinion? I mean, you're chasing a career in law enforcement.
Right.
Very deeply tied to law enforcement, very deeply tied to firefighter service with your grandfather and other family members. What's your opinion? What is the most critical mindset going into an investigation?
When in doubt, throw it out, definitely. If it's something that there's mixed opinions or you don't know where it came from, definitely, I think the most important thing is analyzing the information, you know, when you're done with an investigation. You know, different paranormal teams go into an investigation with different, I believe, different tactics. You know, some go in and their sole purpose is to debunk the activity, and other investigators go in proving activity. Just analyzing the information, spending time analyzing it, and, you know, like you both said, basically when in doubt, throw it out.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree, but, you know, if I hear a cough in the background, first thing I have to do, you know, look at everybody and go, okay, what's your opinion? Did you cough? You know, that's just goes without saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you bring it like that black and white, then, well, I don't know, maybe I did. Well, yeah, then toss it out.
Yeah, I mean, if there's even a maybe.
See, and that's something that in law enforcement, as far as a detective standpoint goes, they, and Bria, I think you understand this too, nothing's really thrown out. It's just not as much in the forefront, but it's still considered to develop a case, you know, pro or against it.
Exactly.
So there's not so much in law enforcement that's dismissed as there is in the paranormal field. So that's, and that is one thing that I do give CPRE is just an absolute ton of credit for, with having active law enforcement on the team, and even with, you know, Big Ray and KB when they go out with the way that they've been trained and stuff and protocol that they follow, is everything is contained, everything's sealed, everybody knows what's going on at all times. Like it's treated like a crime scene almost, to where XYZ person is here and ABC person is here. We know that, and we're sitting here, we're manning this, and then it's going to be rotated, it's going to be changed to where everything's contained. There's no and it cancels out a lot of contamination.
Yeah, above all, know where every member of your team is. Know who's where at all times. That's the easiest way to put it. And if you can, which I realize sometimes the homeowner, the client, you know, they're not really comfortable with leaving their own property for you and your team to go in, but always keep a team member with them. If they insist on staying, then you should always have a team member stays with them, because they may be or they may not be within earshot of a recorder, but you always want to be able to, if they make a loud scuff noise, they move their chair, they, you know, this, that, or the other, you want that team member who should be trained to tag audio and say, that was a chair scuff or something like that. But always, if they insist on staying, always make sure a team member stays with them that's trained and knows how to do an investigation.
Well, and personally, in a private residence like situation, I prefer to have the homeowner there with me or with the team if they do want to stick around. I mean, obviously, it's up to them 100%, but I would prefer that, because if they're experiencing activity, having the homeowner there does kind of have a more opportunity to generate if it's the first time. And I know that we've had, let's see, 37 conversations about this, of if, in fact, that it's your first time there, there's no familiarity with you. So if an intelligent spirit is able to go and hide, wouldn't you do that? If somebody you didn't know walked into your house and was talking to you and searching for you and said, come on, just have a conversation, just, you know, talk to me, blah, 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 and reading them riot act, basically, wouldn't you back off and be like, I ain't saying nothing?
Well, that one goes two ways. And, yeah, I think it's 37. It might be 36 or 38 conversations that we've had about this. But, you know, it's the fighter flight thing that we've talked about, you know, countless times. But I would love to have the opportunity for my team to do just them. I mean, that's what we groom them for. That's what we're all there for. And then bring in the homeowner or, you know, in some cases, the tenant, whatever, client. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at, whether it's a business location or a residence. Then bring them in. See if there's any differences. It may be them that draws the activity. They may be the trigger. So the first thing that you have to do, though, is isolate them from the location and see what you get for that portion of the investigation. Then you can bring them in and see if things change. Does the feeling change? Does the atmosphere change? Do the K2s change? You know, EMFs in general. I mean, I did one where I would have an absolutely flat K2. The grandmother came into the house and the K2 pegged out. I would set the K2 meter on the table and it was flat. I would hand it to her and it would peg out. So I think either, now she didn't have a pacemaker, she didn't have any electronic, you know, implants of any type like that. I think there was a attraction issue with her. Can I verify that? No. How would I? I just think that, you know, with them being away and not getting any activity, and then when they came back, I had activity, it kind of leads me to believe that. And that's what this whole field is about, is trying to narrow things down scientifically as to what the hell's going on. You know, that, I mean, we all preach that, you know, we do everything in a scientific manner. Well, there's no science that has this field narrowed down. So the best that we can do at this point is try to make sense of what's happening in scenario A and scenario B. But if you can't separate them, then you can't figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, there is something to be said, and I know we've had 43. I'm just throwing out a number. It's been a lot of conversation, so that we've had about, all right, as far as being a scientific team, you can't self-proclaim that. Reason being is it cannot be tested in a lab, it cannot be replicated, it cannot be duplicated to compare results. However, approaching an investigation in a scientific manner to where you're not using the boards that are made by Parker Brothers that I won't even say the name of, and you're not going in there just as a, you know, basically to get scared and not at least testing theory. Well, that's approaching an investigation in a scientific manner. If you do it, if you want to be a scientific team, then you have to set up a lab and you have to have the same test in the same location with the same parameters that you do over and over and over again, which is impossible when you get into it and there's different barometric pressures, there's different humidity, there's different, I mean, there's so many variables that in a scientific test is controlled that in an environment you really can't control unless you physically build your own containment tank in a haunted location and do it that way.
So, yeah, I've checked eBay a couple of times. I can't find haunted location bubble. And it's really starting to piss me off, by the way. So there are no haunted location bubbles.
Breed, have you come across one?
I don't think so, but if any of us did, I'm pretty sure it'd probably be pretty expensive.
I can find a roach control bubble, but yeah, that was pretty expensive too, and you know the neighbors kind of freaked out. But that's beside the point. Hey, on a totally different note, I'm going to try this one more time, and hopefully she's listening. We tried to give a shout-out to Charlize, who is our probably youngest listener. Charlize is 8 years old and has tuned in tonight. Hopefully she's done with her shower and back listening to us. Hi, Charlize. Thanks for tuning in, sweetheart. We're glad to have you on board.
Hi, Charlize. Thank you.
Hey, Bree, you want to give Charlize a shout-out?
Oh, sure. Hi, Charlize.
There we go.
It's just amazing how young that people can get interested into the paranormal, and 8 years old is pretty young, and it's to have listeners that young that believe in the paranormal. I think it's amazing.
Well, you also have to remember there is a theory that the younger eyes are able to see further into the IR spectrum. So, you know, when little Johnny has a quote-unquote imaginary friend, maybe it's not an imaginary friend. Maybe it is actually something there that you just can't see. I know for a fact that, you know, on occasion I have to put on my glasses to read because I can't even read print that, you know, I could read perfectly fine just 10 years ago. But here I am, as I get older, I find myself having to look harder and harder and squint more, and I need better light. And I went from a 40-watt bulb, I could read a book easily, to now I'm 75-watt bulb.
So dare I chime into this one?
You like your Jeep?
What does that have to do with anything?
Because if you're going to knock me on my age, I will knock you on your Jeep.
Yes, I know it's yellow. No, what happens a lot of times, and there was a show that Chip Coffee did with called Psychic Kids, and he was trying to coach them and help them with their abilities and basically bring them into understanding what they're experiencing. Well, as a child, there's, even if you go to YouTube, and you can do it literally right now, and go onto YouTube and type in children responding to orbs, which you know... I can't stand orbs, but it's at least a physical-to-physical response that you can see what's going on. Well, what's happening is, in an unbiased brain, the opportunities are limitless. The opinions are limitless. The ideas are limitless. And over the years of, I don't know why little Johnny to Dennis has such a terrible, terrible life, because it seems like everything Dennis talks about is little Johnny. I would hate to be that kid. But but if little Johnny...
How did I know there was going to be a dig at me?
There always has to be. But if little Johnny is experiencing all these things, and over the years in growing up and having an imaginary friend and having this, that, and the other thing, there is also a mental thing, a mental trigger that's instilled to where as you grow up and you become an adult, it triggers you to ignore it because your parents told you that you should ignore it. Your parents told you that it doesn't exist and it's just a phase. And it's this, that, and the other thing. So there's a lot of psychosis that goes into do children actually experience things? Yes. Why don't they experience them later in life? Because it's been instilled in them not to, and to figure out a rational explanation for it. Not saying every case, but that's, I will put my ass on the line and say at least 97%. That
he said ass.
Come on, dude. But yes, I will put my reputation on the line and call 97%.
Yeah, and I will stand right beside you. I will stand right beside you and do the same exact thing. One thing I have learned, by the way, I just got a Facebook message that Charlize actually did hear the shout out and we made her blush, Matt.
Oh,
I think that's phenomenal.
Glad we
were able to make
also.
Your night, Charlize. No, we've made each other blush a lot, but we've never made a listener blush that I know of anyway. But glad we could make you blush, Charlize, and thanks for listening, sweetheart. But, yeah, I mean, I would love to be able to get absolutely scientific, wrap a location in a bubble, do an investigation in January, nobody, nothing, anything whatsoever, go back 3 months to the exact same steps. And it would have to be rehearsed to repeat that same exact thing. And I will bet money on it that you can't get replicated results.
And no, I will too. I mean, that's going back to what we were talking about before and now what we're currently talking about. You sure you didn't hit the glass pipe before?
I promise. I promise.
Well, welcome back to 20 minutes ago. Bree, did you feel the time warp that we transferred back to...
Yep.
Sorry, I got distracted.
By what?
His fuzzy shoes that he has on, apparently.
I was staring at my fuzzy slippers. Gosh, give me a break. They're comfortable.
Actually, I saw it. I'm not sure exactly where the website is, but scientists have actually put out $1 million to anybody who can and I'm not sure if you guys have seen it, have put out $1 million rewards for the proof of the existence of ghosts. And I'm not sure if you guys actually saw that somewhere, but...
It's not actually just for the existence of ghosts. It is for proof repeatable of the paranormal.
Right.
Including psychic abilities, including, virtually anything that has to do with, quote unquote, the paranormal. Now, we all have things that, let's break down paranormal to its base roots. Anything that cannot be scientifically proven falls under paranormal. I crashed my car 18 years ago. I took a nap. I woke up when the ride got a little rough. I hit, I think, 8 trees, and the only body panel on the car that was not damaged was the trunk deck. What does that have to do with the paranormal? Well, I don't even think science can explain how I didn't dent the trunk deck. So that in itself, in essence, is paranormal. Anything that science cannot perfectly define or explain. But that's what they're offering that $1 million for. But you have to do it 5 times by their standards, in conjunction with your own agreement, which says that if you can, let's say, as a psychic, if you say that you can do this, bend a fork with just your mind, then they will set up the experiment, but it has to be done 5 times in a row under mutually agreed upon parameters. And if you can, in this scenario, bend that fork 5 times with just your mind, then they'll pay you $1 million. But I don't think it will ever be proven, because I don't think it'll ever be paid out. It's been offered, I think, for about 65 years. Some scientist, and I can't think of the name of it, Matt, if you're snapping to Google right now, which I'm sure your fingers are going crazy, feel free to throw it out there. But it's an institute. It's a institute of higher learning that is offering $1 million reward for anybody with definitive, repetitive proof of the paranormal. But nonetheless, I don't think it will ever be
ready. If only we could use our minds to bend forward.
Well, I can think of a whole lot more that if I could use my mind to bend the fork, I can think of a whole lot more I'd use it for.
I was just thinking the same thing.
It's the James Randi Educational Foundation is offering, yes. And the stipulations are way, way harder than just doing it 5 times.
It's a long list of stipulations to qualify for it.
Yeah, it was started in 1964. It was revised, this was, even before Googling, I was going to bring this up. It was revised in 1985. But... yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff you got to do. I mean, it's... right now I'm on page 8.
Oh, my.
So, but yes. James Randi Educational Foundation is the one that's putting it out there. But it's just, they make it impossible. And when I say, like, not improbable, they make it impossible.
Well, James Randi Foundation's not the only one either, by the way. They're the ones that are offering $1 million, but there are numerous other ones that are offering much smaller payments. If you can pretty much prove the same thing, but they all base theirs on the James Randi Foundation's criteria. So once you win the James Randi Foundation's thing, if you can meet all of their criteria, you pretty much qualify for everything else, and they're just going to hand you the money. So if you want to get wealthy and if you want to be rich, then, you know, now you will be putting your reputation on the line. I'll warn you that. But, yeah, by all means. So, all right. I keep seeing in the chat room that somebody is looking to buy or is going to buy a hotel or a hospital. Maybe giving it to me for very cheap and making it a paranormal research center for all teams in the U.S. to come investigate. It is very active, 2 stories and 60,000 square feet. So, that would be phenomenal.
Well, you apparently were too busy that night that we had the full, here's another plug, the full spectrum of people on from Unknown Radio Network.
Well, yeah, I did not catch that one. I can't lie. I did have to work that night. So I did not catch the kind of who's who in the full spectrum network.
The Unknown Radio Network, you mean?
Yeah. What the hell?
See,
that'll
as
teach me
to
try
like
to do three things at one time. Yeah, that'll teach
as
me to do three things at one time.
As much as we'd like to call it ours, we can't.
Yeah, well. But no, I didn't miss that show. And I don't even remember a date, so I can't even go back and pull an archive on it. But
yeah,
that would
no,
be pretty sweet.
Yeah, there, and just because of the login and all that, I won't mention the name, but there's somebody involved with Unknown Radio Network that is looking at doing that exact thing. And actually, from last time we talked, has the ball rolling. So publicly, I won't say who it is just because of the login, but I will let you know after the show. And I'll let you know where it is.
All
and
right.
You better damn well guarantee that I will be there with tassels on my toes.
I gotta see that one. I gotta see that one. You're gonna have tassels on your toes.
Yes. I want tassels on my toes.
Now, did you see the picture that I posted quite a while back with the in my Facebook where I said it sounded like Santa's sleigh was coming up behind me? That was the first image. It sounded like Santa's sleigh coming up behind me. It was two people walking through the mall that had like garter belts and calf, like garter belts on their ankles and their calves and their thighs and everything else, and they had bells on everything. Yeah, well, that was the first image I got. And yeah, you won't.
No. Get that crap out of your head.
He
actually did just post it. It's Kevin from Unknown Radio Network who's the one that's working on it.
Well, cool. Where is it located?
The exact location, I will...
No, just what state, because there's a huge realm in a state that it could be countless.
Hey, Kevin, quick refresher. Post where it's located again.
But that would be fantastic. The other trouble is, though, can you make it so exclusive that you can't have contamination? Even though it's a privately owned location, it's still, I mean, anything like that, I just worry so much about contamination that you can't replicate the same exact experiment, you know, a week later, a month later, 2 months later, whatever.
Yeah, it's in Pittsburgh, yeah. Texas. Small town in East Texas.
So
I knew it was Texas, but if I brought up Texas, then that's just way too damn fast.
Yeah.
And he posts, I will do everything I can do to attempt that. Meaning, make it, like, controlled.
I mean, I just see it being such a difficult task. I mean, it would be phenomenal if you could do that, but I see it as being such a difficult task that, you know, there's, even if you believe it is, and even if, you know, 10 of your closest friends believe it is, there's always, well, no matter what, there's always going to be the naysayer that, no, they, I mean, they're going to step into everything.
Yeah. Well,
and there's no way the foundation will ever back it. Even if you could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt to yourself and all of your friends. But, you know, he just said you could try to control environment in a central room. Now, if you lock down a central room and nobody, period, has access to that room. Who's to say that spirit can't move in and out of that room at will? And, you know, will they be there the second time that you go back or the third time that you go back? And if you have just a, like I have a protocol set up questions that must be asked on all EVP sessions. Who's to say that spirit's going to be there to answer those each time, even quarterly?
See, well, if you're talking about going back into the who's going to win the $1 million thing, it probably won't happen in our lifetime.
No.
I see it coming up in the near future, but, I mean, hell, I can't investigate in a wheelchair. I can, as long as, you know, handicap accessible.
I'll push you.
How many people do you think have actually attempted to go to the scientists and prove this?
There's been a lot.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, they actually have, well, the one webpage that I saw showed attempts at getting the $1 million. And, you know, now granted, anything where you're trying to give away $1 million, you got flakes. So they had a lot of flakes that showed up, but they had a lot of people that were sincere about it.
as well. And I want to say that's pushing four digits on people that were sincere about proving that they have psychic or medium abilities or, you know, something along those lines. But they've had thousands of people try to claim that $1 million.
And I think in our lifetime, to be 100% honest, I think if anybody were to do it, like, if it is within our lifetime, not our kids or our kids' kids or anything like that, just in, by the time that I die, it would have to probably be David Rowntree, which is a bold statement, but his methodology and everything that, like, his protocol and everything that he does, I think if there was anybody to prove it, he would be the one to do it.
Exactly, yep. I agree with that. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, when you mention scientific and proving theory and so forth, David Rowntree is definitely one of the foremost that comes to my mind in a good runner for taking that $1 million.
There's a lot of other people that are pretty damn close and that he works with too. So, and let me rephrase, when I say David Rowntree is him and the people he works closely with, I think would be the group that would be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably one of the most scientific guys. I mean, he doesn't go in with a K2 and a recorder. And the man has bought a EKG machine. You know, he's constantly testing this and that on the outer fringes of what we do just to see what's there. He's constantly testing the outer fringes of the abilities in our field to see how much he can further the field.
Yeah, and let me comment really quick on that too. I don't mean to take anything away from anybody else or anybody else in the field who's trying to do it and who is busting their ass to, you know, actually give it proof just like we are. There's just, as far as people I've talked to and people I've had conversations with and know and what their advancements are in the field, that's what I've seen. So, if anybody else wants to come forward and say their piece and, you know, put their theories out there, it may change my opinion. I don't know. I haven't talked to everybody.
Yeah. By all means, if you're... Well, Kevin just posted in the room. That's his theme. Thinking outside the box and the paranormal. So if you're outside the box and the paranormal, then by all means, step forward, talk to us, give us a call. You know, obviously not tonight because we're closing down on just a few minutes left. But,
yeah, we got a minute and a half left, so I want to say thank you to Maria, thank you, Dennis, thank you, Bree, thank you, everybody that tuned in. Thank you to Kevin for popping in and saying what's up and running the chat and everything and helping us out with that. Hopefully next week we don't have these issues. Might be a little bit different flavor. I have a if we can do the show next week. I have an animal rescue charity event that I'm going to. So I will probably be popping in here and there, but it will most likely be Dennis and somebody else who we're trying to work out the logistics of it right now, if we can. It'll be Dennis's show next week. So that is
if your schedule
allows.
Yeah, as long as they'll let me out of that damn room again, I'm good with it. But I'm really comfortable in the Hug Me jacket.
But yes, thank you, everybody. I appreciate you turning into Full Spectrum, and we will see you probably next week. If not, it'll be the following week. So thank you, everybody. And
thanks,
now
everyone,
we're
for popping in.
Yeah, we're in archive now.
Okay. Well, some of our best conversations, though, do happen in archives, but...
You know, Bree and Dennis and I talk about this all the time. We have the longest archive actual on record with Blog Talk.
Yeah. Nobody else.
Well, how long is that? How long is that?
3 hours.
Our longest. Yeah, our longest show, period, that actually rolled into archive and was shut off by Blog Talk was 3 hours, 1 minute.
Interesting.
So, we talked for 1 hour and 1 minute past when the show was scheduled to end.
This means you're having a good time. I mean, you guys are like family to me, and just good times talking. And
oh, don't get all sniffly on us. Oh, wait, no, that's right. That's right. You're out in the middle of the Arctic zone also, so the sniffly is probably not emotional.
Yeah, and I'm totally scared. Because
you're out there freezing your ass off.
No, I'm used to going out in my... going outside without a coat on in below degree weather. And no secret. We're used to it.
Yeah, well, I went out today and I cleared off the lid on the hot tub. don't laugh. I swept all 2 inches of snow off the damn hot tub cover.
This is starting to sound like a porn.
And I got hypothermic, damn it.
Yeah.
God,
thin-ass southern blood isn't fucking used to this stuff.
It was probably 35 degrees out there. Holy Christ.
Dennis, It's not that cold.
I could feel my blood
degrees.
Congeal. No, I could feel my blood congeal. It was
cold.
35
degrees is like fucking summer, isn't it?
We're used to it. I mean, but Dennis, didn't you say something about your neighbor snow blowing in shorts, but he had a coat on at the same time?
No, that wasn't me.
No, I'm pretty sure.
What are you thinking about?
You said something about seeing somebody, or were you using it as an example, somebody snow blowing with shorts on and a coat?
Well, back when I lived in Ohio, you know, up in the Arctic zone, that was common.
Oh, okay.
But now I'm south of the Mason-Dixon. Yeah, we don't deal with that crap. My best day in my life was when I sold my snowblower and moved south of the Mason-Dixon. So now it gets below 35. I'm going, holy Christ. We need to fire up the fireplace and, you know, turn the thermostat.
We get negative 50, and people work out in that weather only because they have to for the oil. That's cold.
The only thing I would do in negative temperatures is set myself on fire seeking heat. I mean, granted, I would start with my crew and, you know, set them on fire to get heat. But, you know, as a last resort, I'd set myself on fire. Negative 50? Oh, hell no. You're not getting me out from an under my electric blanket. Well, only if it was to make a mad dash and dive into the hot tub that's at a nice, steady 101 degrees. So, yeah, that's, negative 50, my ass.
So, wait, real quick, Dennis, did you just see what I posted in chat? Why in the hell does the smiley face have one tooth?
No, I missed it. What smiley face?
I just posted it in chat on Blog Talk. Why does the laughing smiley face have one tooth?
It's probably a hillbilly. Hillbilly.
No, it's not showing up. The last thing I see is, thank you, boss, for helping figure out the issues. Thank you to everyone who listened tonight.
Yeah, and then after tonight, there's a one-tooth, bouncing, laughing, smiley face.
No, I actually see four teeth on it.
I only have one tooth. All right, I'm gonna have I have to snap a photo of this because
it's on the. See, and you were talking shit about me being on the crack pipe, huh?
Well, no. Apparently, I have.
I see how it is.
Apparently, I have a meth smiley face. Oh God! Why? Why does all this crap just happen?
I ain't gonna be able to get that one out of my head. Mess, smiley face.
Well, I'm posting it right now as we speak.
And you blame me for being on the crack pipe. I know where it's at. I know where it's at.
All right. Just click post.
All right. Did you see Anya's shout out?
Yeah.
But
oh, God.
Apparently, so Charlize did get to hear it. That's cool. All right. Why does my smiley have...
You're right.
I don't have chat. I was logging in. Matt, what was it? A couple weeks ago, I was logging in and out, and I couldn't... I don't have the chat on, so...
Dennis, am I wrong?
No.
Is it one tooth again?
No, seriously, he's right. The picture of
one
posted shows...
You guys are laughing your asses off, and I'm here trying to figure out what you're trying to say here.
Just go to my page. I post on my page.
Matt Smiley. Oh, good God. I got the smiley to come from Richmond, didn't I?
I don't cry and laughing here. I got tears running down my face.
I looked over at mine, and
yours
is the same thing.
Yours has four teeth.
Everyone who listened tonight, mine's got four. Yours has one tooth.
Oh, shit. I think I peed a little. Oh, damn it. My fucking stomach hurts from laughing and looking at my one-tooth fucking smiley.
Almost,
right.
Almost almost like those cats on two legs, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
I got to think about that in the middle of laughing
Funny.
So hard I can't breathe.
Funny. So, Bree, did you go to my page and see the 1-2 smiley?
Yeah.
That's on my damn news feed.
Oh, my goodness. I, whoever's listening to the archive, if it's possible,
this is what Matt got.
If you have him on Facebook, you gotta go look.
Yeah. Go to CPR Matt's page.
And if not, add him on Facebook.
Why do I get the mess smiley face? Why?
You know, They always say your pets look like the owner.
I've not laughed in cars forever.
I don't know why I'm getting like a Jethro voice out of watching it. Like,
I got the little 4-tooth bouncy smiley. No, Matt gets 1-tooth.
I get the one meth head tooth.
Oh, Jesus, God. You know what, Matt? With all the crazy shit that we've dealt with from Blog Talk,
he still only has one tooth. I was hoping there was more teeth that were going to come in, but no.
This will be something to remember for a while.
You either got the infant smiley or the, you know, meth smiley.
Oh, God.
I wonder if Blog Talk heard when you said, "I hate you, Blog Talk," and they decided to mess up your emoticons there and... I'm going to get mad at.
It could be my fault. Who knows? I had to minimize that because I can't stop laughing.
I'm looking at mine. They're bouncing all happy with all 4 teeth. And you know, they all 4 come in together. You got one.
If you can imagine the sound that smiley face is making right now.
That's
I really like my sister. She's very nice.
Boy, you got a party mouth.
You beat me.
People are probably like, "Oh my goodness, these people are laughing like crazy."
You got it. Wait, do you remember the Mr. T thing?
Boy, I seen you looking at me. And I looked at you looking at me.
Good. Okay, let me clear it. Anybody who's listening to the archive, go to CPR Matt and look at my 1-tooth meth addict emoticon.
He's been on that pipe for years.
Well, I've seen you looking at me. And I'm looking at you looking at me. I guess you should have dentures.
I keep thinking of what the hell's his name. Oh, God.
Yeah. So if I have a heart attack, dying, laughing tonight, y'all done 911.
I keep thinking of Billy Bob Thornton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, French fried potatoes.
Some people call it a. Some people call it a knife.
Carl, you fucking retard! Like that's what I see coming out is Sling Blade. Like that's the voice that I keep getting out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, for all of our West Virginia listeners, we don't mean to offend you.
That's right. It was in West Virginia, wasn't it?
Oh my goodness. There is, if you go on YouTube and you look up a comedian by the name of Kyle Dunnigan, he does a
and what's he do?
Yep, he does. His name is Carl. His person that he portrays on YouTube, his name is Carl. And that's exactly like how you were explaining it. Voice.
That's probably the Sling Blade character then.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, taters.
With the baseball cap on and the 15-foot hair on the back.
I gotta admit it. Matt, I thought you were full of shit when you said your emoticon only had one tube.
Nope.
But I'll be a son of a bitch. I didn't even know you posed for it.
Yeah, self-portrait.
God. All right. Now, for everybody that's still crazy enough to be listening at this point, we definitely want to thank you for joining us. And for Matt, who's probably being strapped back into his hard meat tight jacket right now,
we want to thank you.
I put myself in the hugging jacket.
I'm going to go back in the other room now and hug myself.
Bree, did you ever think that you'd be getting yourself involved with this?
No, I don't. Dennis is like a crazy uncle to me.
And just for those of you that don't know, the beautiful female voice that you hear is Bree Loader. Please look her up on my Facebook. And you can also look her up on, what is it, Bree Talks Guns?
Yep, well, Gun Talk with Bree. Yep.
Gun Talk with Bree. Yeah, see, I'm going to throw in a shameless plug in there.
I do have a YouTube channel.
You have a YouTube channel?
Yeah, I do have a YouTube channel as well.
You're going to do this shit every show, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
See, we're going to be involved. We're going to have somebody on, and I know, Dennis, you understand the reference. We're going to have somebody on who just keeps going, and you're going to do that, and I'm going to lose my shit. God.
Oh, my goodness.
What have I gotten myself into?
Oh, that just reminds me of that. Was it Steve, Allen?
Oh. Steve! Ellen! Ellen!
Oh, my God.
Steve!
Did we really just have to go into Monty Python?
No, dude. No, you got to look up, like, I think it's Groundhog Yelling Steve.
Or just look up, just type in Steve, Allen on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that came from Monty Python. It's the funniest. Now, Bree, and I know this is a dumbass question. Have you ever played a video game, Battlefield 2? Where
no,
you shoot
I have
people.
Played Call of Duty. I have played Call of Duty where you shoot zombies.
Okay. You need to check out Battlefield 2. What is it? Battlefield 2, 1492, called? I don't know. There's that exact clip comes into it. But look up mine, like M-I-N-E, on YouTube. And there's a video from Call of Duty, or not Call of Duty, damn it, thanks, Soldier of Fortune, where all the little emoticons or whatever the hell you call them in the game are running around chasing a opponent. And since you brought it into the Monty Python thing, it shows two soldiers inside a building and a body flies by the window. And they go, was that Steve? Steve? And, no, I think that might have been Mike? But it's absolutely hilarious. That's straight out of Monty Python. The clip for the little groundhogs doing Steve? Yeah. But it's the funniest damn thing I've ever seen because they're all tramping around and, you know, you see this whole, 20-person troop of icons for the players running for one opponent. And then it breaks into slow-motion video. And they do, what's the Lion King? And it's just absolutely hilarious. The last time I laughed as hard as seeing Matt's one-tooth emoticon was dead.
So, I actually got a serious comment on that, which now I'm starting to feel bad about laughing so hard.
Why?
Because Madeline Hull, I don't know how to pronounce her first name, she goes, I don't get it, but I do get the meth smiling thing, I think. Seen a 22-year-old classmate of my kids that was losing her teeth because of drugs. It was a bit of a parentheses, wow. I see people in their 40s without teeth, but 22? It was disturbing in the third degree, really sad, and caught me off guard, so to speak. Which... Alright. And dealing with people with drug addiction, I don't mean to make light of it. I don't mean to make fun of it or anything like that. I know there's serious problems out there. I know there's serious issues that people have. And I do feel bad about, poking fun at it. Oh, that was a slap back to reality.
Yeah, that definitely did that. I see where Maylin Hall commented, but it won't let me see the
comment. Did she erase it or did you?
No, I didn't erase it.
Okay. Well, going on Melian Hall and the fact that, you know, you watched somebody deal with that, I certainly understand the lack of understanding the humor. The humor wasn't poking fun at those that are trying to deal with an addiction or those that have suffered the negative effects of an addiction. We will certainly never intentionally make fun of anyone in particular, especially those that are suffering. The humor came in the simple fact that everybody else got a full tooth smiley, and for some reason Matt showed up because he gave a shitty comment to Blog Talk Radio for screwing up the network again. So, Maylin, we weren't making fun of your family member, friend, or anything else. But you have to look at that picture and go, what the hell? It's definitely a bit disturbing. And, well, it is what it is. I mean, we've all lost loved ones to drug addictions and so forth. But from time to time, if you don't take the moment to laugh at something that strikes you as funny, then it's a very sad existence that you live. Even those that have left us still want us to be happy and find humor in something.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing that makes every single person survive, whether you're rich, you're dirt poor, is a smile and a laugh. If you still have that, you still have not even a sense of humor, but accept humor, then you're pretty much going to live a damn happy life.
So, whether you can agree with what the other person laughs at or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll share a bit of my personal life. I was 16. I was in a brace, but it's called a J brace. I tore the ligaments in my neck. I looked like a damn freak with this big brace on because it covered my chest and my back. I got made fun of a lot. I got called a stork because it elongated my neck. The purpose was the muscles that I tore in my neck were there to prevent my vertebrae from sliding back and forth against my spinal cord and paralyzing me from the neck down. So I got made fun of a lot. That was a pretty damn weak moment in my life. But you know what? I have a long neck now, and I'm good with that. Everything happens for a reason.
Well, you're functional, and that's honestly all that matters.
Well, I mean, I'm physically functional. I'm not sure about that mentally thing. And as soon as my psychiatrist gets out of counseling, he promises me we can start therapy again. Well, I told you I used to have superpowers till my therapist gave me the drugs.
Yeah, I was It was a small rock at night and a, or a small rock in the morning and a big rock at night. You happen to deviate.
Pretty much. Well.
Do you just do the big rocks all the time?
Now, I'll tell something else that not very many people know, and I'm not very proud of. But about 15 years ago, I got, well, no, actually about 12 years ago, I got snapped with a DUI when my mother passed away. A few months later, I got a DUI from hanging out with friends. So, anyway, I took the charge. I ate it. Big deal. Paid the fines. Did my little jail time. I had to go clean the hood. And I do mean the hood. Pretty much anything in Richmond that ends in court or hill, you didn't want to be in back then, especially as a young white male, because you were probably going to get mugged, shot, stabbed, or otherwise wounded. Well, as I'm doing my community service with the Weekenders, I found a crack gym. I turned to the deputy that was securing us, and I said, hey, do me a favor, man, hold this till we get back to the jail, will you? One of us found the humor, and I'll give you a moment to let that think, let that thought sink in, which one of us found the humor.
Probably you.
Yes.
He didn't find the humor so much.
I don't know why.
They
I
usually
thought it was
don't.
Flipping hilarious. come on now. You're turning to your security officer and going, hey, man, hold my cracks down until we get back to the jail, will you? I thought it was hilarious. He didn't find the humor. Ain't nobody said I was right.
Do I put that past you? No.
I mean, we all have our misgivings in life. We all have our transgressions. We've all done something that we'd kind of look back on and go, damn, I was really a dumbass, whatnot. But you know what? I wouldn't change a damn thing. I've been here over 4 decades, and I got another 4 decades yet to play in this world. I'm going to have fun with it.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
If any one of you can, in any way, shape, or form, prove to me that you are guaranteed tomorrow, well, I'll buy you dinner. But ain't none of us guaranteed tomorrow. Enjoy a laugh today where you find it, no matter at what cost. I'm so sick of our world being so politically correct, and we offend this person, and we offend that person. And I'm sorry if I offend you, but I'm going to get my laughs, and I'm going to enjoy my life. And I'm sorry if you've lost a loved one over whatever. But you know what? That's part of life, and there's a reason for it. Isn't a damn one of you out there that can create a seed to grow a tree from nothing? That tells me that there is a higher being that created that seed that grew the first tree. If anybody out there can create with their own hands a seed from thin air to grow a tree, then I will bow down to you. Until then, no. There's a higher power that does all of that,
and I'm going to laugh until the day I meet him, and then I'll pay my penance.
So, Dennis, not to make light of the subject, but how do you really feel?
Well, do you really want me to go there?
No, I don't, because I know how long the conversation will be. We will trump 3 hours in 1 minute.
No, I mean, I can do it very, very quickly, very abruptly. I'm sick and tired of our country being so politically correct and shutting our mouths and letting us, as American citizens, getting a run over. Screw all that. I'm tired of it. This country was founded on men that stood in a line knowing they were going to die. And they packed their weapon. They packed the powder in, standing in a line. And they fired their round, knowing they were probably going to catch the next one that came back at them. And we became one of the strongest countries in the world. Now what do we do? We falter to this, that, and the other, and I can't say this in public. I can't say that in public. I can't say this or that or do this or that. Because I'm going to offend somebody. Get the hell over yourselves, people. This country was founded on people that didn't care if they offended you or not. This country was founded on people that had balls. Let's reach back, grab them, and move forward. And see where we end up.
I agree with you. I mean, it was founded on honesty. And I just, like, would love to see where this country goes in 10 years, but I don't, you know.
Well,
I
will
be here
in
10 years.
Yeah. Well, no, you will be alive to see it, so.
Well, there's a good chance that if we don't reach back behind us and grab our balls and take this country back, there's a good chance that we won't have a country to take back. Now, I have never taken Full Spectrum Radio into the political realm, but I was asked.
All right, well, let me give you a little bit of advice to save face. I wouldn't exactly use the analogy of we need to reach back and grab our balls. Or grab the balls.
I can't do that.
Because
I can't do that, you guys.
No. That's just a bad analogy.
Right.
I would honestly say, you know, something more along the lines of we need to look back to our history and our roots and bring it back into modern times,
and that would be the PC way to put it.
Right.
But to reach back and grab our balls or grab the balls would be a little bit on the you're getting a hug from a man from behind.
No. Well, I mean, if you want to look at it that way,
then
it's the mental image that's created. Just to say it my way. Okay.
Well, what it was meant to be was we have left our balls behind us, and
yes,
we need to grab them now and move forward.
Yeah, and that's not helping either. Just, I know what you're getting at. I know what you're going for, and I know what you're trying to achieve by that comment. But there's many other ways to approach it.
I told you, I will not be one to be politically correct. I will say it the way I think it, and
but
I think that's part of why you asked me to co-host this thing. Simply because
I can bust your behind you balls.
No, trust me, my balls are straight up ahead of me. I never have to reach back and grab mine because I never left them behind.
I don't care about that. I'm sure Bree doesn't care about that.
You guys have no idea how hard I'm laughing right now. I can't.
Thank God she has mute.
No, it's not on mute. I've been laughing so hard I can't breathe. Like, I'll be laughing and I go silent. Yeah, that's.
No, I don't know. I'm just frustrated in the fact that nobody stands up for our country anymore. I mean, our soldiers are out there on the front line, but they're told not to fire. That was one of the things that my dad bitched about during his two tours of Vietnam. He was told he couldn't fire. The rules of engagement now are until they
don't fire until you're fired upon.
No, they weren't even given that. Don't fire until you're absolutely positive that this is where you were fired upon from. Really? Well, now we've got most of the world firing upon us, but we can't fire back. And we have idiots that want to take us into places that we have no business being. And the sheep keep wanting to put these idiots back in office. Here's my idea. Let's go into D.C., empty it out completely, and go, you're all dumbasses. Get out. We're going to do this right. The way that our founding fathers wanted it to be.
There's, all right. I'm not going to say it because we're in archive, but there is something that, like, economists and all that shit, like, when you actually delve into it, that is 100% truth. But you got to remember, we're able to be chastised right now and shunned. So, I'll bring it up at a later time.
Well, I'll gladly conference call the three of us in without the radio program. I just think that as a country, we need to stand up, tell our politicians that we are ashamed of them, and they need to stand up for what is right. And that doesn't point at Democrat. It doesn't point at Republican. It points at politicians. They're more concerned about lining their pockets than they are looking out for us.
Where the hell does the show turn this way?
I don't know. You went
we literally have covered every topic in this episode, I think.
No, we have not. And I will tell you we have not, because
Bree's actually kind of, she's kind of right.
No, we haven't talked about reality TV yet.
Oh, don't get me started on the Mob Wives. I don't watch that show. Matt knows about this. If you stick me in a room with five high maintenance women,
See, and that in itself explains why I need a high capacity magazine.
Definitely what you're saying is I'm proud of my country but ashamed of the government too.
Well,
that's how I look at it.
That in itself has been going on for decades. Here's a simple thought. Matt, I give you $1,000. Here's a checkbook. Spend $1,000 and make your house right. $10,000 later, you look at me and go, well, what do you mean I bankrupted everything? That's what our government does. Just give me more money. No, I don't have any more money. Oh, well, ask your friends. They'll give it to you. That's what our government has done. I gave you $1,000 and
how about we
or,
do this on a happy way? Jesus, dude.
What? Well, you started it.
I didn't
it's
start shit.
My fault. Shit.
You started going government, like, out of nowhere. Literally, out of nowhere.
It's not
now
my
we
fault.
Have talked about every topic. You mentioned reality TV and...
So we covered it all. All right.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Mob wives, yes. Let's do the country a favor and put a head out on every single one of them.
Oh, shit. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight on Full Spectrum Radio, where we have truly covered the full spectrum.
No, we still have unspoken topics.
oh God, this is going to go downhill.
Hey, we're at 10:47 right now.
We're at the bottom of the hill.
You brought us there, fucker.
And he dropped the F bomb, ladies and gentlemen. I think that will be the second time ever that Matt has dropped the F-bomb.
It's an archive. It's all right.
Breathe.
Yeah.
Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. It only gets worse from here. Matt's dropped the F-bomb for the second time.
At 10:48 p.m., my
Alan,
Steve.
Daytime, nighttime.
Was that Alan from accounting? No, I don't think so.
Son
of a bitch, I think that was Alan from accounting. He just flew out the window.
You haven't seen Daytime, Nighttime. You have to see Daytime, Nighttime. Daytime!
Nighttime!
Daytime!
Oh, wait.
Nighttime.
Date time.
They got if anybody's listening, they got videos of different animals doing their own, doing the voices and thing there.
Daytime! Nighttime. Daytime!
And the show, ladies and gentlemen, if you can tell, has hit a very slippery slope, and we have gone off the cliff. We were so worried about the financial cliff. Oh, no. No, no, no. We've gone worse. The financial cliff ain't got nothing compared to this.
Yeah, it's...
Big time! Big time! Big time!
Oh my goodness. Now I'm going to have to go back and watch those cats on two legs.
Nighttime. Daytime.
That one before.
Alan, Alan, Steve, Steve, Steve.
This has gone south.
We could go further south. Oh my God, dude. See, I won't bring myself to such a childish level. I haven't opened YouTube at all.
You were such a liar.
Yeah, I
the craziest honey badger original narration by Randall.
Yeah, that one.
I just can't do. No, I can't bring myself to such a low level.
Look, it runs all over the place. Whoa, watch out, says that bird. Ew, it's got a snake. Oh, jackal. Oh, my gosh. Oh, the honey badgers are just crazy. the honey badger has been referred to by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most fearless animal in all of the animal kingdom. It really doesn't give a shit. If it's hungry, it's hungry. Ew, what's that in its mouth? Oh, it's got a cobra? Oh, it runs backwards? Now watch this. Look, it snakes up the tree. Honey badger don't care. Honey badger don't give a shit. It don't taste what it wants. Whenever it's hungry, it eats snake. Oh my god, watch it dig. Look at that shit.
No, we're not right.
Oh, that's nasty. Oh, they're so nasty.
I started that one.
Oh, look, chasing things.
I'm offended to say that I love you guys.
Long body, but it's distinctly thick set, broad shoulders, and, you know, their skin is loose, allowing them to move about freely. They twist them around. Now, look, here's a house full of bees. You think the honey badger cares? It doesn't give a shit. It goes right to the house.
If people are still listening, I don't know what they're thinking.
I've actually had people that have listened to the full archive.
I'm gonna put a link up and tell my people to listen.
I don't know if you should.
For your people. For your people?
Yeah, my people.
Matt, she's got peeps, man.
Wait. Where were your peeps tonight?
She got peeps. Dude.
I did. I shared the link to tonight's show, and I told them to call in if they had a